That's what I was jotting down. The anchor holds because of Calvary's blood. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. He's going to give me back the other mate, but good to be in church on Monday night. Not too often do we ever, are we ever privileged to be in church on Monday nights. And so, and then tomorrow night, on Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Again, I say a thank you to Pastor and Sister Thurber, you dear people, for having us and letting us, allowing us to come and minister. And so, anyway, is this the last change?
You'd never know.
Okay. But I was just wondering. Hallelujah. But we welcome those that are here tonight, Monday night. And we also welcome those, if you're watching by Facebook. And I know that there's some that will probably tune in by Facebook, and we welcome you as well. Praise the Lord. God is good. A great day yesterday in the house of God, always. And so, but tonight is another night, right? It's a different night. So open your hearts to receive. I'm going to go to the book of Psalm 11, verse 3, 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Notice that. And I did not notice that until I just jotted it down. So Psalm 11:3 and 1 Corinthians 3:11. Imagine that. Lord, and we just pray that you'll bless this time in the Word. And Lord, again, as I prayed last night, I cannot do it without you. For we're nothing without you, and we need your help. We need your strength. Lord, I pray, God, that this Word will resonate, Lord, in our hearts tonight, even mine, as I preach it. And Lord God, just speak to our hearts through your Word tonight. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Imagine that. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And now, 1 Corinthians 3:11. Imagine that. These from Old Testament to New, they're talking about the same thing here. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? For other foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm preaching on the subject matter tonight of on this rock I stand. On this rock I stand. It's going to sound like I'm ranting for a moment. I was just thinking as I was kind of going over some of this today, I said, you know, this kind of sounds like a rant, but it's not. For 68 years, I've made my way. I'm going to try to go as fast as possible. But for 68 years, I've made my way through a world that has become a madhouse. How many could say amen? It's become a madhouse with the inmates trying to run the asylum. I feel like saying, in all the confusion that we see and that we hear, I almost feel like saying, I absolutely have no comment. I'm nearly speechless for what I see today. And if there are those that feel that everything is so wonderful in our nation, I'd say that they have probably never been outside. And they have probably never watched the news. I don't believe that one can keep silent in an evil time as we're living. I'm speaking, and I want you to know tonight that I'm speaking as an individual, not for any group, nor for any movement. I am an American by birth, a Christian by second birth, and I am a Pentecostal by conviction. Hallelujah. I am not interested in theological fads nor theological trends that changes as often as men and women's fashions. and like those who change with everyone of doctrine. I'm tired of hearing that our great denominations should get away from their humble beginnings, shake the hayseed out of their hair, and come of age. I'm tired of all the modern efforts to force a counterfeit kingdom of heaven on an unregenerate society by which we sweep out the house and seven devils return. I'm tired of making moral issues out of political projects when political views and projects should be based and founded upon biblical moral issues. I'm tired of our bragging about how sophisticated we are when we have bought Satan's agenda more than any crowd ever since Adam. I'm tired of the freedom that throws out the Ten Commandments, throws them out the window, and does not know the difference between love and lust. Love does not annul the Ten Commandments. Love does not worship other gods. Love does not make no graven images. Love does not take God's name in vain. Keep the Lord's day. Honors mother and father. Love does not kill, steal, commit adultery, or covet. Actually, you cannot break the law of God. If I were to jump off a skyscraper tonight, I would not break the law of gravitation. I would break my neck and my entire body. One might as well attack Gibraltar with a cap gun as to attack the moral law of the universe and the God who reigns in righteousness. I am tired. Now, it sounds like a rant, but I'm tired of little flimsy professors in Christian colleges as well as secular colleges who enjoy brainwashing young students into disbelieving the Bible. I'm tired of popular commentaries and all kinds of, I don't belong to the Bible of the Month Club. But I'm tired of all the popular commentaries and the translations that doubt or deny the miracles of God and deny what we have felt in this building yesterday and what we're going to feel in this building tonight. I'm tired of seeing stars, Brother Dakota. I thought about you. But I'm tired of seeing the stars and stripes, the American flag, being dragged in the dust and burned on America's streets. I'm tired of people, amen, give our nation a hand clap for that. And our great American heroes, past who have been smeared in patriotism, junked in favor of communism and socialism. Folks, it's here and it's coming. It's coming and it is here. That is part of the program of the Antichrist. I'm tired of hearing sin called sickness. That the alcoholic and the addicts are just ill. They're just sick. And the addiction is only a disease. And I thought about that, and I thought, if it's a disease, it's the only one that I know of that Americans are spending millions of dollars a year to spread. I'm tired of hearing that liars are only extroverts with a lively imagination. Murderers are victims of a dramatic experience, and abortion is considered as a means to help one plan a family. I'm tired of seeing adultery and fornication recognized in the slums, but not in Hollywood. And it's not even recognized in the church. And illegitimacy is made respectable and supported by the welfare system. And it's being supported by the church. The word illegitimate, you will never ever hear the word illegitimate anymore because it's not popular to say that anymore. I'm tired of experts who know all the answers, but have never ever found out what the question is. I'm tired of our artificial wealth of America, riding to the poorhouse in the fancy cars. I'm tired of this joke that we call progress. We have learned how to lengthen life. Matter of fact, let me stop there. I've got two notifications today that they've sent a craft to just today to Jupiter's moon to find life. And I'm thinking, how stupid is that? They're wanting to, Brother Jamie, they're wanting to find life on other planets and they can't handle the life on Mother Earth. But we have learned how to lengthen life, but not how to deepen it. One would have to live, I thought of my daddy, my grandpa, I even thought about myself. And I'm not patting myself on the back. But one would have to live 10 times as long to live as half as much as my daddy and my grandpa did, and half as much as I've lived in my 68 years. Of course, we have wonder drugs. And after we take them, we wonder what's going to happen next. But their misuse and after effects may raise problems as great as they saw. How many want to take medicine when you see it on TV? It can cause this. You could have this and this. You know what? After I took chemotherapy and all that, I don't have any feeling in my legs and my feet. My nerve endings are all, it destroyed my nerve endings. And I was telling the people that we went out to eat with last night, because the same surgeon that took my cancer out took his out up in Kansas City, and his nerve endings are shot too. And the thing is, they put me on a help me out, Mary Beth. They put me on a drug called Neurontin, and Neurontin is supposed to bring your nerves back to life and to try to help get feeling back in. And I did read. I'm not a medicine taker, but I did read the after effects of it, and the after effects is depression, thoughts of suicide, and all kinds of stuff. And so I thought, well, I'll try it. Maybe it'll help me, and so forth. And so I started taking it, and I'm walking one day. I'm walking with my dogs, and all of a sudden I begin to have these thoughts. Terry Green never has these thoughts. I'm thinking about dying. I'm thinking about, oh, am I going to die? What's going to happen to my girls? And what's going to happen this? I begin to think all this bad stuff. I begin to think negative stuff and all that. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think that way. And I'm thinking, that's the result I read on the bottle of this medicine. And I'm thinking, man, I just don't think this way. And I stop right where I'm at, and I call my oncologist right there. And I said, I want to talk to Dr. Stillwell. I talked to Dr. Stillwell. Hey, what's going on? I said, you know what? I was just walking, and I started having some thoughts. And I said, I just stopped and you're rotten. He said, you can't. I said, I did. He said, you're supposed to wing yourself off. I said, I just did. I stopped. He said, no, you're supposed to go slowly. I said, I did it fastly. I just stopped. And he said, but you're not supposed to. I said, but I did. I said, I'm having thoughts that I never, ever had. And he says, are you thinking about killing yourself? I said, no, I like myself too much to kill myself. But the fact of the matter is that, you know what? We take all the drugs that American doctors give us, and we don't even know what it's going to do. And it's just a temporary fix. But, you know, they're misused. And after effects may raise problems or concerns as great as they solve. I'm tired of hearing about temperance or moderation in drinking booze instead of all out abstinence in order to please the cocktail and the social sipping sainted bunch in churches today. I'm tired of the stupidity of our smartness. Did you hear that? I don't know where it came from, but it just came. I'm tired of the stupidity of our smartness. We have polluted the air that we breathe. We pollute the waters that we drink until rivers and oceans, even the lake that is around our area, and the oceans and the lakes and all have become sewers. Our cities have become jungles of crime in which no decent woman, let alone anybody else, could dare walk the streets at night without fearing that their lives may be taken. We live in a maze of noise. Desperate people leave the city and move to rural areas, to the country, to wake up one morning to hear bulldozers clearing everything out of the way to put a freeway in front of their house. When the automobiles first came out, Ray Sander Baker wrote these words. He said, "It will be almost as quiet as a country lane. All the crash of the horses' hooves and the rumble of steel tires will be gone." And it was about that time that a prominent preacher said, "Laws are becoming more just, rulers are more humane, music sweeter." You know, speaking of that, I just saw last week the top 20 Christian songs of all time. And I looked at that top 20 Christian songs, whoever came out with it, I looked at the top 20 Christians. You sure didn't have a Rusty Goodman on there. But the fact of the matter is, I looked at the top 20 of the Christian songs ever written, and I thought, my word, I'd hate to see the bottom 20. Prominent preacher said, "Laws are becoming more just, rulers humane, music sweeter, and books wiser. Homes are happier, and the individual heart more just and gentle." And then all of a sudden came the First World War. We have invented television, but what is there worth televising? We have invented computers to do our thinking, but who's doing any thinking anyway? And we have more leisure, but have you ever looked lately how it's being used? People used to have visions of God, but now they're experiencing some kind of God through certain drugs so that they could have an hallucination of some kind of God. I saw where Aaron Rodgers was playing today, the quarterback for the Jets. A lot of people may not know this, but Aaron Rodgers went to Peru here a few years ago. And did you see that? He went to Peru or somewhere. I have never heard. And Brother Dakota, you might help me. Was it some secretion from a frog? It's a plant or whatever. And the thing is, and he wanted to experience God. And so I don't know if they sniff it, snort it, or they drink it. And he went through that process. They convulse. They throw up. It is a total mess. And they hallucinate to no end. And Aaron Rodgers said that he experienced God in a way that he had never ever experienced God. He really found out who God was. No, he didn't. He would not find out who God is unless he accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You don't have to have a plant. You don't have to have a frog. You don't have to have anything to experience God. You need Jesus. You need Calvary's blood, hallelujah, to know what God is all about. Man, we have become social security numbers with a wallet full of credit cards tagged, labeled, cataloged for the system of the Antichrist. I could go on and on. And I cannot cover it all. One preacher said, "I'd rather know a few things for certain than to be sure of a lot of things that ain't so." I like that. So I just ran it a little bit of some things that are uncertain. But let me name a few things that I know for certain. Let me tell you about some things that I know that are for certain. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Every word of it is the Word of God. I may not understand it all the time, but I stand upon it. It does not need our vindication, although the archaeologists' shovels are digging up evidence every day to shut up the critics' mouths. The old book has been buried many times, even as now men would bury God. However, the corpse has a habit of coming to life in the midst of and they have outlived. It has outlived all the pallbearers that has taken it to the grave. The Bible is not a myth. Folks, let me tell you. The Bible is not a myth. And those that think that it's a myth, they are mistaken. They are mistaken. It's not a myth. No book to this day has ever outsold this book. And what more can God say that He's not already said? And what more can He do that He's not already done? It's all written. I am certain that the Bible, I am certain that the Word of God is God's Word, and that settles it. And upon that rock I stand, and I will stand. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He was born of the Virgin Mary. I believe otherwise He would have been born out of wedlock, and I'm not interested in that kind of salvation. Some say, but only Luke records the virgin birth. Oh, folks, listen to me. How many times does God have to say it before we can believe it? I believe the record of the gospel, and I believe the record God gave of His Son. And upon this rock, I will stand. I believe that Christ died for my sins. He did not come merely to teach, to be an example, to die a martyr. He came to do something about our main problem, which includes all other problems. Folks, listen to me. You never know it is our main problem. Nobody in the government, nobody in Congress is going to say America's real problem is sin. Nobody in the United Nations will tell you that our real problem is sin. We won't hear it in the universities. The state and the world capitals will not say that our real problem is sin. And sadly, you won't hear it in too many churches today that our problem is sin. They're all trying to sweep up the cobwebs, but nobody wants to say anything about the spider. The spider is sin. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, and Calvary's blood was shed to save us from our sins. Folks, listen to me. Upon this rock I will stand. I believe that Jesus rose bodily from the grave. Folks, I'm not worshiping a ghost. Did you hear me? The world knows that He died. The church knows that He rose. At least I think they do. He could have appeared to Herod, to Pilate. He could have put on a demonstration in Jerusalem, the greatest sensation of all time, but He revealed Himself only to His disciples. The resurrection is the greatest secret. The church is the greatest secret order, if you will, of all time. I accept the fact of the resurrection. I have entered into the experience of it in my own identification with my Lord. I have lived in the powers of it. I'm weighing the final fulfillment of it up from the grave. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I love that old song. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. And folks, listen to me. One of these days, because of His resurrection, the saint of death is going to rise. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up to join them with them to meet Him in the clouds of the air. And upon this rock I will stand. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The speaking in tongues being the IPE, the initial physical evidence. Jesus told His followers that He's going to go away, but He's going to send another. And that other was the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one that's going to come after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And boy, do we ever need the fire today in our churches today. And oh, listen to me. And did He ever do that? Oh, the evidence of it, as I said, is speaking in tongues. A baptism of power. A baptism of power to witness, a baptism to a power to live victoriously in Christ and through Jesus Christ. A baptism of power to win, oh, a town, a community, a city, a world to Jesus Christ and to turn it upside down. I am certain of this power tonight, and upon this rock I will stand. I believe that Jesus is coming back personally to reign on earth. It could be any day now. Just any day now. Our Lord is coming. I believe that He's coming back to reign. Could be any day. A lot of people are trying to guess what day it's going to be. Back in 1988, they said He was going to come back September 11, 1988. 88 reasons. I had the book and I gave it away. Someone said, do you have that book? And I said, yeah, I have that book. He said, could I use it? Could I have it? Because I want to use it in a message. I said, I gave it to him. And a lot of people didn't know about the book. I don't know if you ever seen the book, but part of it was written right side up and the back side was written upside down. It's about upside down, that's for sure. But they said he's coming back. They set dates all along. You know what John Wesley told a group of theologians that is all talking about eschatology when Jesus Christ was going to come and all that. And John Wesley said, if you'll all be back tonight to hear me preach, I'm going to tell you exactly when he's coming back. And all of them, oh, they came by the hundreds to hear the old theologian preach on Sunday. They wanted to find out when Jesus was coming back. So they all got there. And before he began to preach, he said, I know that you're all here. You're anxious to hear me. I told you I was going to tell you when he's coming back. And I'm going to tell you right now when he's coming back. He's coming at an hour when you think not, and you better get yourself ready. And folks, listen to me. Oh, it could be any day. And so, oh, and I would say, as some would say, sooner the better. But still yet, I have some loved ones that need Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, I want to do everything that I possibly can in these last days and hours to win them for Jesus Christ. One said, it is a Christian's conviction that Christ will return and take over when mortals have made a hopeless mess of self-government. Folks, listen to me. If that is true, the stage is set. If ever mankind has gotten itself into one unholy mess. And folks, listen to me. It is an unholy mess right now. And I believe that Jesus Christ is coming to take us out of this mess. When Jesus Christ came the first time, neither the Roman nor Greek nor Hebrew world would receive Him. When He comes again, neither government nor culture nor religion will hang out a welcome sign for Him. When the church is so busy puttering around down here that it scarcely ever lifts eyes heavenward to pray. Even so, Lord Jesus Christ, come. Oh, wouldn't you think that the subject would be all over our lips right now as we're saying things happen? Oh, at a pace that we have never seen before. And what a great thought to know that He could come at any moment. But yet, so not many desire or are really ready for it to happen. I had a friend that told me, as we were talking about Jesus Christ coming, and he said, you know what? I don't want Him to come. I said, what? He said, I don't want Him to come. He said, I want to see my grandkids grow. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. I thought, man, are you crazy? Your grandkids would be better off if He did come. But I'm going to tell you, folks, listen to me. I believe that He's coming. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. And we held a blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. And upon that rock I will stand. I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to every problem. Past, present, future. By Him all things consist. In Him we are complete. For all that He is, I take Him. For all my need, I trust Him. For every blessing, I thank Him. I believe that all who trust Him have eternal life. And all others will live in conscious torment forever. I don't care what the Pope says. Hell still has a fire. One might object to preaching on hell. saying that they want to hear. I've had people tell me this. They want to hear about the meek and lowly Jesus. But the teaching and all the information about hell came from the meek and lowly Jesus. He took the last verse of Isaiah and the garbage heap outside Jerusalem, and he gave us one of the most fearful pictures of hell on record. I believe in it because he said it. And on this rock I stand. I believe in heaven too. Heaven has not lost its splendor, and hell has not lost its fury. But oh, think about heaven tonight. As I was sitting, thinking, and writing and penning, I saw an inscription years ago of which the sentiments I do share, and it said these words: "Heaven, I hope to win." My mama used to sing a song. I don't know, Brother Jamie or others would know it in the song. "Since childhood I've heard of a heaven. I wondered if it could be true that there's sweet mansions eternal somewhere just beyond the blue. I wonder if people really go there." And I thought about that song. And I'm thinking about heaven. Heaven, I hope to win. As a boy, I have been told about that beautiful city, both at home and in a little country church in the Ozarks, Sunday school. I read the Pilgrim's Progress through all his trials, tribulations, until he crossed over the river into that heavenly home. And it says in that book that when he crossed over, it says that all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. As a kid, I would hear the old church sing, and I can hear it now. "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." All the old home places that I've visited after all these years are battered. They're not the same anymore. Some look so small that I could hardly even believe that my mom and dad and six kids lived in it. They've given away to age and time, beaten up by storms, wind, rain, you name it. But yet I too, I've weathered the winds of life, the summers and the winters, the years. But the ravages of life have not removed the hope of heaven from my heart. It's embedded there now as much or more than when I was a boy. As a youngster, it seemed so far away. But today, being 68 years old, that hope burns brighter than ever in my heart. Many that I've known through the years have made that journey and have taken up residence there. And the population has shifted a bit, and I have more personal interest in that other world. Then I have my Savior's word for it when he said, "For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so," he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." And folks, that settles it. Brother Scott, that settles it. That settles it. If it were not true, he would have told us. I can and I will take his word for it. In a world that's gone mad, no storms of time can erase hope, the hope of heaven. Whatever else thieves may steal these days, they have no claim on the promise that God has given us. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that we're nearer home than we were yesterday. And upon that rock, I will stand. Someone would say that folk like me Brother Scott, Jamie, all you people that go to this church, they would say that we're a little bit too old-fashioned. I've had people look at me and say, you know what? You're too old-fashioned. You're old-fashioned. You know what? And I've said this back to them. If I'm old-fashioned, so is the Son. For without it, we'd all grow up in darkness. If I'm old-fashioned, so is air. For without it, we would be gasping for breath and we'd die. If I'm old-fashioned, so is water. For without it, we'd go crazy and we'd thirst to death. Jesus talked about simple things like bread, salt, and water. And He knew that we were dependent on these simplicities in spite of all of our technology. Years ago, it was said there was a power failure in Upper New York. And millions just sat all night long. They did not know what to do. And they just waited for the sun to rise. Folks, listen to me. In these larger cities, there's so much smog. People are praying that a windy day would come along and blow it all out. This year, in our neck of the woods and other parts, there have been droughts. And they've waited for rain. So with all the technology that we have, man is helpless, a poor creature still dependent on the sun, moon, stars, air, and water. Folks, listen to me. The old time religion is still good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. We used to sing it as a song in church. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. And folks, listen to me. But the greatest hindrance to many of man's salvation tonight is not his goodness, but not his badness, but his goodness. The good that is not good enough. The Pharisees went to God's house. They read the scriptures. They prayed in public. They tithed. They lived separate lives and won others to their belief. But that was not good enough. Education, moral character, reformation, and church membership are good, but they're not good enough. Folks, listen to me. Upon this rock I stand. Years ago, an old-time preacher, I tried to look this up, Brother Scott, and I could not find it. But an old-time preacher preached a message, a sermon on the subject of the stupidity of the specialists. And his text was, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Luke 20:17. And mind you tonight, folks, the stone that the builders, the experts, the specialists of all people have rejected the very Word of God. Our civilization is crumbling because the experts have rejected the only foundation that will endure the test of all time, and upon that rock I will stand. Our text said, Brother Tim, come. Brother Jamie, come. But our text says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Upon that rock I will stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. I've been in the building trade, my skilled trade. I'm skilled in the field of carpentry and building. And I know for certain that it is very important to have a firm foundation. And how many knows that the church needs a firm foundation? You know, I believe with all my heart, because it's a breath of fresh air for Mary Beth and I. Sister Deb was saying, she said, I saw the look on your face Sunday morning. It was just like, I was so eager to experience coming to North Valley Assembly of God. And one of the reasons is because of the foundation of which this church has been built. You know what? You know the things for certain that I just read off to you tonight and talked to you? You know why that is? None other than our four core cardinal doctrines. Those things are for certain. Rock solid. And I grant you that most people in AG churches today don't even know their core doctrines. Isn't it sad that a Muslim child, a Muslim kid can tell you what they believe? A Jehovah's Witness? Witnesses? You can talk to their children, and their children will tell you exactly what they believe. You can take a Mormon child can tell you exactly what they believe. But you look at evangelical children, hey, what do you believe? I believe what my mom and daddy believes. What does your mom and daddy believe? Well, I don't know. They believe what I believe. Well, what do you both believe? We both believe the same thing, and we really don't know what we believe. But I am certain of this. I know that I stand upon the rock Christ Jesus. I know that I stand upon the rock of which He is my salvation. He is my healer. He is my baptizer. He's my soon coming King. And it's upon that rock I stand. How many would say, Pastor Green, Brother Green, Pastor Thurber, I want to stand up on that rock. And if I know that if my house is built up on that rock, my house will not crumble. The anchor will hold in the time of trouble, in the time of storm, in the time of hardship, in the time of everything, in the time of the turmoil our nation is going through. Folks, listen to me. We will stand. We will stand because we are upon that rock, Christ Jesus and Calvary's blood. Upon that rock I will stand. How many will agree tonight? We no doubt have a church crowd here tonight. And if you're not on that rock like you should be, you better get to being on it. I don't know if that's good grammar or not, but I don't care. You better get on it. You better get on that rock. It's a rock worth standing upon. And it's a rock that will save your life. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Lead us, guys. Hallelujah. Listen to what He said. Then we're going to come around and pray. Hallelujah. As they sang it, I tell you what. I want you to come around these altars. You want to stand and pray. If you want to kneel, you can kneel and pray. But be certain of one thing. Upon this rock, I will stand.